This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. More than 1,500 U.S. military personnel have died in Iraq since the U.S. invasion 2 years ago. Nearly four times that many have been wounded in combat, too seriously to return to duty. And for the first time in American history, a substantial number of the combat wounded are women. As part of our series, The Span of War, NPR's Linda Wertheimer visited with some of the women recovering from severe wounds at the Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas.
Staff Sergeant Michelle Mitchell was a medic in Iraq, attached to a military police unit. Last April, she was on the edge of Baghdad when her vehicle was blown up.
I had on a flak vest, you know, my Kevlar, and I looked over the driver's shoulder, and as I heard the blast come in. Took my arm and put a nice big hole in it. It just took a split second, that's all. I'm very blessed, because had I turned around and looked out the window, I wouldn't have had no face. I probably would have been dead.
She lost bone and a shattered leg. Her hands have burns and nerve damage. She remembers being afraid of infection, asking the men who picked her up to cover her wounds. She was flown to the Army's burn unit in Texas at Brooke Army Medical Center. The Army calls it BAMSI. We met her there, mostly recovered, but still working to regain the use of her hands, still coming to terms with her injuries.
My leg is disfigured. I'm burned. I have this divot in my arm. So, you know, if it was summertime, I wouldn't be able to wear any shorts. I covered them up.
Is being brave about something like this different for men and women?
I don't think one can be brave about being blown up. One has to be strong, very strong.
After almost a year of treatment, Michelle Mitchell seems bursting with pent-up energy. When she looks at her hands now, she sees what is not yet there, fingers that stretch, a hand that makes a fist. She says that as a soldier in Iraq, she and other women did what men in the same job do. I asked her if battlefield injuries are different for women.
There's some of us who have been injured on our faces. You know, your whole life has changed, so in that respect, it is different. Fellow soldiers told me they want to go back, okay? No woman that I know has said that. You know, I think it's a macho thing, but women, when you're injured, I mean, you know, it's something just totally different. I mean, with a man, these are battle wounds. You know, be proud of your battle wounds. Well, I'm not proud of them. I'm just not proud. You know, my arm is looking like this, but there's nothing I can do about it. You know, but I'm not going to go attract a whole bunch of attention and say, oh, wow, you know, what happened to you? What happened to you? You know, I'm not going to do that.
Michelle Mitchell is now 43. After 10 years in the Army, she's thinking of a new career, maybe X-ray technician.
Squeeze, hold it.
In a rehab room around the corner, we found Connie Rendon working with a therapist, squeezing his hand, or trying to.
Hold it, come on, fight. Relax.
I could see your wrist trembling when you did that.
It's weak. It's weak.
Connie Rendon was 40 years old when she was injured. She's from Texas, the mother of two teenage boys. She was driving a truck heading for a camp about 50 miles north of Baghdad when she was ambushed.
I felt something on my face, on my right side of my face. It just felt like it had just cracked open. And right here in my jaw, the same thing. It just felt like it just had just shattered. When I got on the helicopter, I just remember telling the medic that my right arm was hurting real bad. And that was it. That's all I remember until I woke up 5 days later at Walter Reed.
Shrapnel broke Connie Rendon's jaw and is still embedded in her face. Her right hand, she says, was hanging. Both hands burned and broken ribs, one lung collapsed. Her husband, Hector, flew to Washington and arrived at Walter Reed Medical Center just before she did.
It was a scary sight. Her face was swollen, her jaw was, you know, over to one side, everything was swollen. She had like 14 pins, like from her knuckles to her elbow, just trying to keep that hand together. You know, it didn't look like she was gonna make it overnight.
But like many of the wounded of this war, Connie Rendon survived because she was wearing body armor. No vital organs were seriously injured. She was taken to the burn center at BAMSI for months of skin grafts and rehabilitation and surgeries on her hands. She seems unnaturally serene about what she's been through and what's ahead.
To me, this is a vacation. after everything I went through, after everything I put my family through, you know, I deserve it. That's how I look at it.
The next surgery is to re-break and rebuild her wrist and to smooth out a pillow-shaped mound on the inside of her arm where skin from her groin was grafted over a burn. Plastic surgery to remove shrapnel from her face and burn scars from her lip will come last. But of all her wounds, she says, that has been the worst for her.
I think it was my jaw, because it's more noticeable. And I had this one lady ask me a dumb question if I had gone overseas with this deformity.
Movie star plastic surgery can do should be a piece of cake.
That's what my mom says.
What does your mom say?
She just says, you know, look at all the movie stars. They go in every week for something new. So I tell my husband, I just start looking at some magazines, see what kind of lip I want. That bottom lip.
Connie Rendon joined the reserves in 1988 to help pay for her education and, she says, for adventure. In Iraq, she says, she just did a regular job, driving a truck, but of course in a dangerous place. When I asked her if that took courage, she grinned and said her sons think so.
They're like, wow, you know, my mom's a hero. They'll tell me, Mom, you know, so-and-so said you're a war hero. And that's nice. Not anyone can be a war hero.
Do you feel that you are?
I feel I am. I mean, I have the injuries to prove it. Because I'm sure there's a lot of women who would like to be recognized that they were up there and they did, you know, what a man does. And sometimes they say, well, women don't go to the front line, but it's like, what is a front line? You know, you can't really say women don't belong in the front line, because where was I?
My goodness. Good there. You're not in that wheelchair anymore. That's good.
We met another woman named Connie in the hospital hallway. Connie Spinks was slowly making her way to a therapy session in the pool. She's the youngest soldier we talked to, from Asheboro, North Carolina. She begged her parents to let her join the reserves at 17. She knew she would love it. The day after her 22nd birthday, her civil affairs unit went in a three-vehicle convoy to the ancient city of Nineveh in northern Iraq, planning to rebuild a market there. On the way back, she was in the gun turret of the armored Humvee in the middle of the convoy when they were hit by a truck.
As soon as his vehicle touched our vehicle, it exploded. I was telling my mom, it's like a little Toyota pickup truck that my dad used to have to pick up hay and stuff, you know? Just one of them old, raggedy-looking trucks. And the guy, he was just wearing normal clothes. Like, I could see he had on, like, a normal shirt, like a regular guy, just driving. And that's why, like, I would talk to my mom all the time about it. And I was like, Mom, I was like, if I would have known, and then, like, maybe I would have had that instinct to pull the trigger.
But she didn't. And the explosion blew Connie Spinks out of the top of the Humvee. As she came down, her flak vest caught on the open door, she was hanging from the door of a burning vehicle, struggling and thinking of her mother.
I'm not dying over here. You know, my mom is not going to have to bury her daughter from Iraq. It is not going to happen. So that I was screaming. I was trying to do everything I can. This one, like, when I was caught on that door, I wasn't going to just sit there and dangle. You know, I was trying to move. And, like, these two fingers are broken, you know? Like, I could see them. They were split open. Like, I could see my bone. I could see the blood. I didn't care that, like, I was on fire. I didn't care that I could smell burning flesh. And I was trying to live.
She got her vest unvelcroed and fell to the ground, screaming, she says, because she could not move her legs. Members of her unit pulled her to safety, and she began the journey to Brooke Army Medical Center. Her parents, who had never flown before, flew to San Antonio to see her. Her mother has stayed since October.
My husband couldn't deal with it. He walked in the room, he turned around and walked back out. And he went to the room, and he just cried, he cried, and he cried. But my daughter's hurt.
Her face was burned. Mm-hmm. She fractured the ankle on one side
and then
broke the other leg as well.
In three places. She has a rod in that leg, and the left leg. The right heel was crushed, and at the bottom of her foot, the bone had shot out. So it had an opening in her foot about this wide. So she was hooked up to all kind of gadgets when I first got here, and her face was blistered and oozing, and it just looked like something in a horror movie. And the only thing you could see was a little black eyes, you know, a little beady black eyes.
According to Annette Spinks, Connie's father deeply regrets allowing his daughter to join the reserves. All families suffer over any injured child. But no one, including the staff at BAMSI, has quite come to terms with young women with devastating battlefield injuries. Annette Spinks grieves over the changes in her daughter, but she also knows it might have been so much worse.
She told me everything that happened that when I got to the hospital, and she told me, she said, "Mama," I kept saying over to myself, "My mama is not going to bury me. My mama is not going to bury me." And I did everything in my power not to cry because I just wanted to bawl. I said, "Baby," I said, "I would have buried you." She said, "Yeah, I know you would, Mama." She said, "But I didn't want you to have to go through that." See, she was thinking about me, you know what I'm saying? So, but I just, what I say, I just thank God. I do, I really do.
Connie Spinks is taking baby steps on crutches now. We talked to her while she waited for a therapy session in the pool, sitting in her bathing suit, explaining her scars and injuries. The worst looking are scars where sheets of skin were harvested from her thigh to graft onto her hands and arms. She jokes that now she has one pink leg and one brown leg. But the burns on her face have healed nicely, and that, she says, is a blessing.
I can imagine, you know, having my face scarred permanently, you know. I think that would have more of a traumatic impact on me than like these leg and hand injuries. And I guess if I was to be deformed to where I couldn't smile like my normal self, where I couldn't, you know, grin or anything that's normal to me, that it would make me feel like I'm a different person.
All three of the women we talked to have had some psychological counseling, in some cases with their families. All three survived incidents where the people sitting next to them were killed. All three are too seriously injured to return to active duty in under a year, if ever. None of them seem at all bitter about what happened to them. All of them are proud of their service in Iraq. Linda Wertheimer, NPR News.
Background on women serving in Iraq and previous conflicts is at our website, npr.org. You'll also find Taking Issue, a collection of opinions on the war in Iraq at the 2-year mark.